Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sackdown Sports 1140. Hello, I'm Frank LaRosa, and Scott Marsh, my co-host, is sitting beside me, and we're about to take you 18 holes of something. It's all about golf. That's all I really know about that.
That's all it should be about.
You know, I haven't really talked to you since I came back from Ping last week. That was a really remarkable visit down there, and they were incredibly hospitable, and I really enjoyed kind of getting to know some of the folks down there and taking a look at their incredible campus. So I think we'll try to do more of those kinds of things as we continue here on the show.
Yeah, it was an incredible show. You got all the big guests that Ping had to offer, and it was really insightful, really well done. And of course, Ken Morton did a great job with you as well.
It was fun to have Kenny on the show. Coming up today, Mark Atterbury is the Northern California rep for Cleveland Golf and for Srixon Golf. And we're going to talk a little bit about products that both of those companies have coming out. Srixon will talk about the new drivers and their fairway woods and some iron choices as well. And they also have a great ball line. We'll talk about that. And with Cleveland, you know, they've been known for years for their line of wedges, and the Zipcore technology continues. And Mark will fill us in on what's new, and we'll learn more about Cleveland Golf.
Fantastic. Can't wait for that.
We will wrap up the show today with our friend Dennis Miller. Dennis is the editor of acesgolf.com, which has an incredible online presence. He started out as a full-color glossy magazine, and as with many of the magazines that started in those years, found that the printing costs were just astronomical, and it was really hard to sell enough advertising to keep those publications going. So the smart ones moved to online, and that's where Dennis is.
Yeah, no, it's a great publication. He's got a lot of followers, a lot of great content there. I look forward to going through all of it with him.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw Dennis, we all played golf together at Lake Tahoe Golf Course, as I remember.
I tried to forget that round, not Dennis himself, but just the round itself.
Lots to share, lots to talk about. The Golf to Go Radio Hour is every week, and again, it repeats on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. So Scott and I really enjoy doing this. We hope you enjoy listening to it. We will be back with more right after these messages as we get more into the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sacktown Sports 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right here on Sacktown Sports 1140. Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh, and we are here to welcome in Mr. Mark Atterbury. Mark is the Northern California rep for both Cleveland Golf and Srixon Golf, and Mark is a great friend of the show. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you always have something new, and with two companies, boy, there's lots we can talk about, and because there's so much, we won't get it all in today, but today, let's concentrate on Srixon. I've been seeing some of the press on the new drivers, and then you know you've got a whole line of new clubs. So, first of all, Srixon is a name that certainly has gained much more popularity and understanding over the years. But give me a little history of Srixon as a company and how big it is here in the United States.
Yeah, so Srixon is a division of Dunlop Sports. A lot of people in the States probably recognize the Dunlop name. Srixon specifically golf and in tennis as well. So if you're watching any of the Australian Open right now, you might see some Srixon on TV as well. But the Srixon company, Dunlop Sports, it's a division under Sumitomo Rubber. So that's a company out of Japan that does a whole lot of tire work, but through their rubber affiliation. They're also into the golf world and very, very well known globally in the golf ball market. But of course, Strixon does also make clubs, and their partnership a number of years ago, they actually bought out the Cleveland Golf Company. And in doing so, that helped them get their foot in the door in specifically the North American market through that relationship with Cleveland Golf. But Strixon as a brand, we largely, you know, market those clubs probably towards not necessarily a scratch player, but maybe the more discerning golfer, lower handicap, mid handicap. I mean, we can certainly fit clubs to the higher handicap, but within the Strixon Cleveland umbrella, that's probably more the consumer we're going to more move towards the Cleveland brand name. But you do see a ton of Strixon clubs in use on the global tours. And of course, brand new clubs coming this January.
You know, to your point, a good friend of mine is, I'd say he's probably 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, handicap. And he went out and tried all the irons and last year bought a set of the Strixon irons. And I tell you, sometimes I'm on a tee with a fairway wood and he's hitting his iron just as far as me. So from a practical experience, the clubs work.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to say that it's all the clubs, but we got to get you a bowl of Wheaties, Frank.
Hey, tell me what's new with drivers this year. I know, most manufacturers will come out with a couple new drivers, but Strixon has three new drivers this year.
Yeah, correct. So there's three different driver heads. It's all under one family, the Strixon ZX Mark II series. So Mark II indicating that this is kind of generation two under that ZX family name. But the last 2 years, we had the ZX5 and the ZX7. And largely from the tour feedback, we had a lot of players that wanted to play the ZX7, which is kind of that smaller profile driver, if you will. If you like to work the ball, that's one that maybe the better golfer kind of gravitated towards. At the end of the day, though, even at the tour level, you know, we all want to hit the ball as straight as possible. And that's where our ZX5 came into play. That's the more forgiving of the two, definitely has the higher, you know, MOI or forgiveness factor. We did find, though, through a lot of testing the last couple of years with our tour staff, that there are a number of players that want that larger, more forgiving profile, but also would like to see something that is maybe a little bit more workable or a little bit lower spinning. So for 2023 and into 2024, we have the ZX7, ZX5, and then the new club to the line is the ZX5 LS or low spin. And that's the same profile as the larger ZX5, but just a lower spinning option for that higher swing speed golfer or lower handicapper that wants to see the larger profile, but just looking for something with a lower spin rate to it all overall.
I think there's a lot of muscle memory that goes through swinging your golf club. And so I've always felt that the first swing, especially, and maybe the second swing as well, of a new club, when I try that, is when I really recognize the difference. And I remember trying the Strixon drivers last year. It may have been even with you. And you know, you talk about the wow factor. You really can tell the difference in the way the ball jumps off the club. And I was really impressed with the drivers.
Yeah, we've had, the last couple of years was fantastic for golf in general, as I'm sure anybody listening to this show knows. But having an additional model this coming year, I mean, that only helps Strixon really grow its market share. We've got a ton of tour use, and look, I'll openly admit, in the metal world market, we maybe don't get the recognition that we're due. But if you look at our tour staff in particular, I mean, we're two majors over the last 2 years with Shane Lowry and Hideki Matsuyama, some of the best in the world playing our drivers. So it's nice to have something that the amateur ranks kind of recognize on that tour level too.
Scott, have you had a chance to hit any of the Strixon clubs?
You know, unfortunately, I haven't, and it's something that I definitely need to do. Mark, you know, I don't want to get too wonkish, but I'm always so fascinated by just how pieces come together, loft angles and spin rates and all that stuff. And I think a lot of our listeners are too. You talked about the lower spin rate with some of the clubs. Can you kind of explain that and kind of put that into the context, what that actually means for the average golfer and how that can be beneficial?
Yeah, and of course, it'll be tough to show visually on a radio program, but the lower you can get the center of gravity within a club head, when that ball launches, you get kind of a reverse gear effect, meaning that the club will spin one direction and the ball will spin the opposite. And if you don't have a real low CG or center of gravity, you're going to get excessive backspin. Now, backspin can be good in that it gives the ball lift, but it also creates less downrange forward directional force. And of course, when the ball, if it lands with excessive backspin, it's not going to roll out at all. So with the drivers, we're trying to achieve that nice high launch angle, but with the appropriate spin rate to give you the maximum yardage. And it's tough to see, even if you have a club in front of you, it's tough to see visually where the center of gravity is within a club head. But the lower you can get that center of gravity, the better, or maybe better isn't the right term, but the more optimized you can create with a driver for various swing speeds and various launch conditions of each individual golfer. So having three different models in our line, we can fit, you know, kind of that lower to mid-range swing speed very well with the ZX5. But I don't want to limit that club to that golfer either, because Shane Lowry plays that club on the European and the PGA Tour. So, I mean, all skill levels can use all three, but we just want to get you fit properly into the right one to maximize your yardage.
Yeah, you're trying to do what's ideal, but obviously there's going to be exceptions and human feel and, you know, just all the things that come along with being a human being play into it, of course.
Of course. Toughest distance in golf, the 4 inches
yeah, between but the... I just wondered, too, because now trackmans are so available, right? And everybody wants to have a trackman. My question is like, can you even read what a trackman's telling you? You know, if somebody just goes out to a course and wants to set it up by themselves, I still feel like there's a lot more that needs to be done than just that.
Yeah, I mean, having a trackman at an individual's disposal would be fantastic. And I'm sure that there are people out there that do so. But of course, that's a pretty big expenditure.
Sure, it is. But I have friends who have invested in that.
Yeah. And there's other launch monitors out there now that are, you know, substantially more affordable. And I have seen people on a golf course using them. But yeah, if you, you know, not every golfer is going to have access to that. And that's where going into a fitting studio that has that electronic, you know, devices to measure swing speed, measure launch angle, measure your backspin rates. That's where you really want to get optimized fit for that club.
Tell me about the technology. Is it the same technology or the same mysterious things that happen inside the club that went on with the fairways and the hybrids as well?
So for 2023-24, the Mark II product, Srixon actually did deviate from the prior generation quite substantially. There are certainly different manufacturers touting different materials, some touting carbon fiber, some touting titanium. In the prior generation, we used a combination of the two, the titanium body with a carbon fiber crown. In designing the current generation of clubs, though, we actually found that we could maintain better ball speed, particularly high on the club head, by getting rid of carbon fiber and going to an all titanium structure. The benefit of going all titanium is that you're drastically increased in strength in that material over a carbon fiber. Maybe a little bit more lively feel, if you will, out of a full metal frame as well. So you can kind of get a little bit more feel, and it, you know, inevitably it kind of leads to the golfer thinking they're getting a little more pop out of it too.
I want to be able to talk about the new line of golf balls as well. But you know, I'm about to ask you about irons and thinking, boy, there's so many different offerings in the irons. What can you tell us to kind of capsulize it?
Yeah, so Srixon offers four different models of irons. One being your full tour blade. I mean, I don't suspect we're going to sell that many of those, but we need that club for that very best of the best. Hideki Matsuyama, namely, we'll play that club on the tour for us. Where we do get probably the most love is out of our, just like in the drivers, their ZX4, 5, 7. We have the same in the iron, ZX4, ZX5, ZX7. And the ZX7 is the one that offers a cavity back, so your average Joe golfer can play it. But it is really designed for that kind of single-digit handicapper. It's a fully forged club head. It does have a cavity, but it's a fairly small cavity. And then we'll have a number of amateur players such as myself that might combo a ZX7 with like a ZX5. The ZX5 is the larger cavity back, still a forged body, not the completely full one piece forge like the ZX7 or the Z blade. But it's a more forgiving iron in the ZX5. And we will see, you know, a number of golfers that will combo that where they might do a ZX5 for the long iron, ZX7 on the short end. But we also don't want to be such an exclusive company that we're not welcoming to every skill level either, right? So the ZX4 irons, that's a club that really is designed for the everyday golfer. It's a nice wide-soled club, so it's got a very low center of gravity. an elongated blade length from heel to toe. So it's a very forgiving club. It's hollow internally. So that hollow internal mass, we can, you know, fill in with a foam material that makes the club feel very soft, but is also very responsive on getting a lot of yardage. I mean, it's metal wood technology in the face, right? It's springing that ball as far as we can go. And in that ZX4 for that, you know, higher handicapper or lower swing speed golfer, we put a fairly lightweight shaft in it. Yes, it's a little stronger in loft, so we're trying to maximize that golfer's yardage.
Choices. But as Scott kind of alluded to, and you certainly would second the notion that we're probably past the days of kind of walking in and looking at a set of clubs on the wall and thinking, that's the one I need, because of, you know, there's so much more that goes into the irons, especially in terms of getting fitted to that lie loft, you know, how do you stand? Are you tall? Are you short? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what angle do you deliver the club head to the ball? I mean, these are all things that are, you know, seem complicated, and time on a track man or time with a fitting professional, you know, they can pretty much figure it out in two or three swings, you know, what the repetition in your swing is, and then begin to build the club that best fits you. And, you know, I'd certainly, I guess, recommend that before trying to pick between four different sets of irons that you suggest you have.
Yeah, certainly we don't want to confuse everybody in their trial and error process, but you know, like you said, two or three swings in, generally speaking, most professional fitters have a determination in their head, at least, of what might be a good fit for that customer. But of course, we want that customer to have input and, you know, tell us what their preferences are as far as the visual of the clubs. But, you know, you said it earlier and just said it again, too, like the first two or three swings. And that's really what we want to focus on, because anything past that, the golfer is generally trying to fit their swing to the club rather than the club to their swing.
You know, I told you I was going to give you time for golf balls, and basically I've run out of time to give you for golf balls. So here's what we're going to do. Why don't we just kind of break for a couple of messages and then come back and throw a curve at you? Because not only will we talk about golf balls, but let's also talk about the brand new Cleveland wedges as well, because, you know, that company is certainly known for their wedges and wedge play. And I think that I think both of those would be interesting topics. And let's take a break and come back right after this. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Mark Atterbury, the NorCal rep for Cleveland and Strixon Golf, are with us. And we'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Mark Atterbury remains with us for a little bit more of this hour's show. Mark, again, is the NorCal rep for both Strixon and Cleveland Golf. And we're getting into a discussion about all of the clubs that are available in Strixon. And when you start talking about clubs, you certainly want to talk about wedges. And there we want to talk about Cleveland wedges. But first, Mark, let's kind of pick up where we left off and talk about the golf ball line that that Strixon has, and I know you have three balls in the premium line, and most of us, I think, we want to play the premium ball thinking that for some reason that's going to make our game better, and as you will probably point out, there's lots of balls in your line, and while you probably like to sell more of the premium balls, it's not necessarily the right ball for all of us. But let's kind of go through it and talk about, you know, what you would recommend for the person with the average swing speed as opposed to a higher swing speed.
Yeah, and to your point, we do in the Z-Star, we make three different models of golf ball. Each one has its own characteristics for the individual golfer. Of course, Strixon makes plenty of non-premium, if you will, golf balls as well that are maybe a little bit more affordable to knock a few of them into the lake or into the woods. But yes, we would love to sell everybody a premium golf ball. We were talking prior to the recording that, you know, swing speed doesn't necessarily dictate what ball to play. It can play a factor, but it's not the end all be all. And within the Z Star family, that's our premium line of golf balls, the Z Star. There's three models. There's the standard Z Star, which is our 92 core compression, very high spinning urethane cover golf ball. That's a ball that, you know, we maybe don't see a ton of use on the tours because it does have that little bit softer core. But that's a golf ball that at the retail level, we sell a ton of because it's in that Z-Star family. People recognize it as the premium. but that 92 core compression allows for the average golfer to access that core. It's a little bit softer than what's generally played on the tour. Next in the line is the Z-Star Diamond. And that golf ball shares a very similar cover to the Z-Star. The Diamond model has a very high spin cover, but it does feature a firmer core. It's 102 core compression. And on the global tours, the professional ranks, roughly half of our players on the global tours that are playing Srixon play the Diamond model. And next in the line is the Z-Star XV, which within the Z-Star family, I would say that's the firmest of the golf balls, but that doesn't mean it's a firm golf ball. It's still got a urethane cover, but it's not quite as thick of a cover. The thinner cover lets us get a little bit less spin out of it, which, you know, where we are locally currently, it's been raining like crazy. So we want maybe a little bit less backspin, so we're not pulling the ball off the front of the green with a, you know, high spinning wedge shot. And then it still features that 102 core compression on the internal. So that the XV and the Diamond are both golf balls that are designed for the best of the best high swing speed players that are, you know, hitting that ball 270, 300 yards. But again, at the retail level, even though you might not see the standard Z-Star played on tour all that much, that's where we sell the most of that model in particular. And that golf ball will get some use in particular, like the LPGA or, you know, the various female tours around the world where the swing speeds aren't quite as high.
Well, you know, he's talking your distances, Scott, when he's talking about hitting a 275.
Oh, yeah, right down my alley. What is interesting, though, I did get fitted, you know, for speed swing, you know, a couple of years ago, and I was at 102, which kind of shocked me. So I was pleased with that. But what I'm interested in knowing for, you know, just in terms of like with your driver and swing speed versus your irons and all that stuff, can you walk us through how it might be different based on what club you're using?
Yeah. And I talking about ball fitting and club fitting, I think a lot of people, we all get concerned. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. We all want to hit the ball as far as possible, but hitting it 10 yards further and giving up backspin with a wedge might not always be what we want to do. So I think it's important with golf balls. I mean, yeah, it can get expensive to go out and buy 6 or 8 dozen premium golf balls, but if you buy 6 or 8 sleeves of various premium golf balls and take them out to, you know, a golf course that'll allow you access to a par 3 or something of a shorter yardage, you know, it's great with a golf ball to fit it from the green back, meaning hit some putts with it, hit some, you know, shorter wedge shots with it, hit some full wedge shots with it, and then hit some short and mid irons. And you want the golf ball really to perform there, because talking about what ball will drive the farthest, I mean, of all the premium golf balls, there's not more than about a 10-yard separation from the best to the worst as far as total distance. But getting that golf ball to really do what you want around the greens is the most important part of ball fitting.
There you go, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say, at the end of the day, does it ultimately just come down to feel? I mean, you know, you're talking about so many technical things here, but for a golfer, if they're doing the test like you're talking about, does it really simply come down to a feel, or is it more a mechanical thing of looking at all the other metrics that you can look at?
I think it's probably a combination of the two. I mean, feel is going to be a huge part of it, but at the same time, if a golf ball feels great, but, you know, is just not doing what you want once it lands, you know, the feel goes out the window. But of course, feel is also more than just golf ball. It's the clubs, the grips. Yeah. It can even be the turf, right? I mean, we're talking in January when the ground is wet and soft. It might be completely different in August when it's 105 and been sunbaked for months.
Talk about the other golf balls in the line. You know, the one.
Yeah, so we've only discussed the premium. Yeah, we've only discussed the premium. And I actually, before I depart from the Z-Star, I do want to point out to everybody too that it's probably not known, but Srixon has the second most global tour wins in the 2022 calendar year. Wow. As far as golf ball manufacturers on the global tour, 66 total tour wins. So departure from
it is.
We're actually much, we're probably better known in Europe and Japan than we are in the United States, but we are growing drastically in the US. And part of that is through maybe those little bit lesser expensive golf balls. So under the Z-Star family, we have another one called the Q-Star family. And there's various models in Q-Star that, yeah, they get a little more affordable to hit into the trees. But we've got some lower core compression for, again, your everyday Joe golfer in the Q-Series. We feature both a Serlin cover, which is a very low spinning cover. And then we also feature a urethane in the Q-Star series as well. And then moving from the queue down to what we call the soft feel, that is our, that's kind of our bargain bang for the buck golf ball, if you will. We offer that one in a multitude of different colors. It's got a great soft feel to it, hence the name, but it is a Serlin cover, meaning it won't spin a ton. But that's a great golf ball for the golfer that's, you know, just going out and losing 3, 4, 5 per, you know, 9 or 18 holes or whatever it is. But it's a very soft feeling golf ball that it just doesn't cost you a ton to lose a few of them.
Did we talk about the Divide?
We did not. And that actually, so there's Divide in the Z-Star series, in the Z-Star and the ZXV. And then the one that really kind of caught on for the Divide is in the Q-Star Tour. So it's a urethane cover. It's extremely bright. It's and when Frank says Divide, half the golf ball is one color and the other half is another. So like if you're looking at a globe, essentially right where the equator is, the northern hemisphere would be one color and the southern another. So like we have balls that are blue on one side, yellow on the other, red on one side, yellow on the other. So they stand out. They're fantastic for putting drills, chipping drills, but it's kind of fun to watch them leave a driver as well and spin for the first, you know, 100 yards or however good your eyesight might let you see downrange.
I get 50 yards out, I lose it. So that's why I use them on the putting green. I want to take some time and talk about the Cleveland wedges. You know, I remember the first in the early years of playing golf, boy, the first time I bought a Cleveland wedge, I thought I'd really arrived. And they've had a great reputation for years. And now I don't know what number we're on the series of the zip core technology, but let's talk about the Cleveland wedges and why that's going to help improve your game as well.
Yeah. And new for 2023 is an extension of the zip core technology, which you just mentioned. We're on generation 6. So the official name of the wedge is RTX 6 zip core. And then within that, we offer several different finishes. We offer a chrome finish. We offer a black finish. And then we will offer a raw or rusting finish as well. And the zip core, if people aren't familiar with what zip core is, there's actually a portion of the club internally that is hollow and replaced with a lower density material. And the purpose of that is it allows the engineers to move weight to where it's better suited rather than just having a one piece metal club head where you're limited on where that mass can go. We're replacing some of that metal internally with a lower density material. And it's also very cost effective in that we don't have to lean upon introducing other metals like tungsten or, you know, other compounds and try to create a casting that has two different materials. So we get a very high performance wedge, but we can also keep the cost of the club relatively affordable as well.
There's different lofts obviously available, and there's different leading edge configurations as well. Talk about the difference between a digger and a picker and how you can fit yourself in a wedge. It seems to me that quite frankly of all of the clubs, fitting the right wedge is probably the, you know, maybe the most difficult and maybe the most critical.
Yeah, and there's so bounce angle is something that a lot of golfers will talk about, and that's the angle of the sole relative to the shaft angle. So it's not a perfect 90 degree perpendicular. You know, if the shaft is sticking straight up in the air, you don't want that sole flat on the ground. But generally you want the trailing edge to be lower than the leading edge, and that will keep you from digging too much. But you also want, you don't necessarily always want a ton of bounce because you at least need the club to get into the turf at times too. So Cleveland, we offer various bounce angles on our wedges from 54 degrees up through 60. We'll offer a lower bounce, a mid bounce, and then a full bounce, the full bounce being for really soft turf conditions. Like we mentioned a moment ago, it's good and muddy out. A real nice high bounce wedge right now would be great. Or if you're playing somewhere that has really lush fairways or really nice sand year round, you generally would want that higher bounce so that you're not digging too much. Vice versa, there are, you know, some golfers that want that very low bounce angle if they might be playing somewhere that's constantly kind of dry or sunbaked, or if the firm or the sand is just really skinny in the bunkers, you want that lower bounce angle so that you can get that leading edge under the ball and give you a little bit more access to dig. I think for the majority of golfers, I mean, this is a blanket statement that is going to be inaccurate inevitably, but for the majority of golfers, that mid bounce angle is generally kind of the best all the way around. But that's not an absolute, of course.
I've got about 2 minutes left in this interview, but I know that many companies will not offer as many opportunities or options in the wedges for left-handers like Scott. Tell me what Cleveland has for guys like Scott that, you know, play on the opposite side of me.
Yeah, I didn't know, Mark.
We definitely try to keep a good opportunity for the left-handers. The unfortunate reality is that it's just not as big of a marketplace, which means it would cost more for the manufacturers to make everything left-handed because you've got to produce them in certain numbers to keep the cost correct. But we do have your mid-bounce angle, like I said, fits the majority of golfers. We have that available pretty much across the board in all of the different finishes other than the rusting wedge. In the chrome, though, we make everything right-handed that we make left-handed. The chrome is the one that sells the most, so it's the most affordable for us to manufacture. We literally make every head left-handed that we also make right-handed.
There you go, Scott.
I still options have a wide you. Selection. That's good to hear.
Mark Atterbury is the NorCal rep for both Cleveland Golf and Strixon Golf. And Mark is a guy that's approachable if you see him around and have some questions about the equipment or even about the game of golf. Mark's the kind of guy you want to talk to. Thanks so much for being with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We'll be back with Dennis Miller, the editor of acesgolf.com, right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. I want to welcome in an old friend, Dennis Miller. Dennis is the editor of acesgolf.com, but his background goes much, much deeper than that. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you again. Nice to see you. Also a very long-time golf writer buddy of mine. So good to see you too, Scott.
Good to see you, Dennis.
Hey, acesgolf.com is an online golf and lifestyle, basically, magazine format that you've developed. But this isn't your first foray into the world of sports writing. You spent a number of years at a local newspaper as the sports editor. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I think the most ironic thing is I'm actually – you know, a college graduate that used what he actually got a degree in the real world, because
you're the one.
Like nowadays people don't do that. But I was a journalism major at Chico State, graduated in May of 85. And by August of 85, the guy who was the editor offered me a sports writing job. He had actually covered me when I was in high school. And so he offered me a job to come to work at the paper, and I stayed there. Took a brief break for about 3 or 4 years, and then went back for more. All in total, it was 26 years. And I ended the last 10 to 12 as the editor of the local sports. So basically high school sports editor.
And that was the Tri-Valley Herald?
Tri-Valley Herald in Pleasanton, which in those days was part of the Alameda newspaper group, which was Oakland Tribune was a big paper. And then we had four other papers as well. But eventually everything became one paper. And they offered buyouts, and I couldn't resist taking a buyout and getting out of there because they were going to lay people off based on the right-hand column, not the left-hand column. Years of service didn't matter, anything. It was whatever they had, the cheapest, is what they were keeping. And so I could see the writing on the wall. And coincidentally, about the last 6 months that I was there, the editor or the publisher of the Herald was a gentleman named Tim Hunt. And I had been writing for Avid Golfer magazine in Texas. I'd been doing their wine stories. I had gone on a trip to Kauai with their editor. And he's like, man, you know your wine. You want to write wine for us? And I was like, wow, this might mean I'm going to get some free wine out of it. And just jumped on it. And all of a sudden, they started sending me copies of Avid Golfer. And I was thinking, wow, there's nothing like this magazine in California. Once they said that, you know, I checked with them, they go, yeah, no, we've got no expansion plans to California. Tim and I decided to launch Aces back then, just based a lot on what Avid Golfer had to bring to the table and such. I had been doing some golf for the newspaper, so I wasn't completely foreign to golf. But when you have Art Spander on your staff, you're never going to be the man. So Artie took care of us, though. He took care of us, helped us a lot.
What a legend.
Yeah.
So when Aces Golf started, it was a full color, really, really nice, glossy magazine. And you guys really hit the ground running.
Yeah, so our goal all along was to be high profile, like a target of men that, you know, 20 or no, 30 to 50 that made in excess of 250,000. And this was 15 years ago, right? So, you know, it was a pretty high end. And we felt the only way we're going to accomplish that is if we went with the high gloss, beautiful copies, the kind that you could see at Pebble in a room or Court of Isle in a room. And we actually accomplished that. But it was costing us $35,000 an issue to produce. And when you're just starting up, that's a heck of a nut to carry advertising wise to just to break even.
Sure.
So we got through four issues and then just decided to go. And that was when the evolution began. We went to an EPUB. Then we went to another type of EPUB. And then we just said, you know what? Websites are the way to go. Let's just launch a website and go from there. And so that from that came acesgolf.com is where that came from.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story and certainly one that makes much better sense in today's digital age.
Right.
What's the best part of writing? Is it the golf or the lifestyle, or what do you enjoy most?
Well, you might be able to attest to this. So way back when I started writing for the paper and I said, hey, can I do a local golf column? You know, talk to the big chief. And I said, there's a lot of good golf out here and it's a very rich area. So he said, sure. And my goal at that point was, you know what, it'd be nice if I could get a free round of golf once in a while. And then it turned into the point where I can't play enough. I could never play as much as the opportunities were there for me, you know, except when we go on the golf, the High Sierra trip. And then, you know, that burned you out for a couple months right there. But yeah. So, you know what the best part about it is in the golf writing thing is the brotherhood of golf writers. I mean, just getting to be friends with everyone such as yourself and, you know, Big Daddy up in Reno and stuff like that. You look forward. You see these guys three or four times a year, but you look forward to those three or four times a year. And it was a camaraderie and nobody was ever trying to mess with anybody. Everyone was real open, real helpful with everyone. And, you know, God, I talk with Robert Kaufman and Matt McKay about this all the time. It's been what, Frank, 30 years, 35 years?
Absolutely. And the great part is that, you know, all of us have similar circumstances and similar stories. And so, as you say, there, you know, is an opportunity. Hey, you know, you can write this story for such and such. And it goes back and forth. And
right.
And then you get to have an adult libation now and then, too.
Yeah, just a few of those. Just a few of those. But yeah, no, and it's worked out because now for Aces, Robert Kaufman sends us stories all the time. And he's done articles for us on trips and such like that. So, you know, we give him a form. A couple of the old PR guys that we used to know will send me stuff and say, hey, do you got space for this? You know, they just need to get it published. And so we're like, yeah, absolutely. Send it and I'll run it for you. So, you know, those old friendships and are still paying off in spades, you know.
What's the best interview you ever did? And by best, you know, I'll let you define that, whether it's the most interesting person or the most satisfaction you had. But when you think about all the interviews over the years, who comes to mind?
Good Lord. So golf wise, it would have to be in the 87 US Open, which was at the Olympic Club. And I was only 2 years onto the staff, so I was low on the pecking order, but the boss sent me as the number four guy of our team to cover. And my job was to hang around the players' locker room the entire week and build notebooks. You know, so that 87 Open, as I recall, had a couple real interesting things. First, Seve's brother was his caddy, and he didn't rake the pit. After Seve took a bunker shot in the middle of the U.S. Open, he failed to rake the pit. And so that was a big controversy. And I remember there's this one reporter that I knew nothing about golf. And we're all in the locker room talking to Seve about it. And he says to Seve, I don't see what the big deal is. He didn't rake the trap. The next group can rake it when they get there. So, and Seve just looked at him and said, you're an idiot, right to the guy, right in the player's locker room. That was fun. But the highlight came on the last day. Me and one other guy are in the locker room, and Jack Nicklaus comes in because obviously one of his last opens, and he wasn't in contention. So he was done fairly early on Sunday. And, you know, we said, hey, Mr. Nicholas, can we, you know, talk to you about just the week? And he said, sure, come on in. So he took us in the champions locker room. And then he said, I'll be right back, guys. And we said, okay. So we're sitting there. We're just kind of looking around and stuff. He comes back in. He's got a tray of sandwiches and beers. And he set them down. He goes, now we can talk. And so he went out and got us food and beers to talk to him in the locker room. So, I mean, that's you know, obviously he's going to rank one up there. I spent a week at the American Express when I was at Harding Park. My boss sent me and said, I want you to follow Tiger inside the ropes all 4 days of the event and just write a first person narrative about what it's like to be with Tiger Woods for every shot of a tournament.
How good is that?
And, yeah. And of course that went, you know, extra holes and playoff and against Daly, and Daly missed the two footer to send it to another playoff hole and stuff. But the nice thing was Artie Spander took me out to the range and introduced me to Tiger and said, hey, this guy's going to be inside the ropes following all week. Don't be scared if you see him. Don't think he's a stalker, right? So Tiger was laughing at him. And it was great. I mean, you really got to see a different side of Tiger the entire time. And you know, saw Elon, got to see Elon up close and personal. And that was beautiful. And then that Gavin Newsom was still married to Kimberly Guilfoyle. And they came out and I walked like six holes with him inside the ropes on Sunday. And memory about that was Kimberly Guilfoyle wearing spiked heels out on a golf course to walk it. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I mean, there's countless ones. I mean, just overall, probably the two is I got to interview Monica Seles. I was covering a women's pro tennis tournament in San Jose, and it was her first appearance back from when she got stabbed.
Mm.
And the publicist was very clear, you're not to ask any questions about the stabbing. And it was a one-on-one, just me and her. And I said, okay, yeah, no, that's fine. And about third question in, she brings up the stabbing.
Wow.
And it was just a great interview talking about how she definitely, you know, is more aware of the surroundings and the courts and stuff like that. So that was just real stunning. Really, you know, given the circumstances, that was a pretty big interview. So
Scott, would you rather be in the ropes with Tiger or have lunch with Nicholas? What do you think?
Oh man, that is a tough call. I don't know if I could choose. I'd like to do both. I mean, why can't I just follow Dennis's life? I mean, come on now. But I love the one common theme that most everybody has here. It's really the start because you want to get some free golf.
Yeah.
That's really how this all starts, it seems like, Dennis.
Yeah, no. And same with my wine writing. When I first started that, I was thinking maybe I could get a couple bottles of wine, you know, free here and there. And, you know, now I've got a cellar and bottles. And yeah, people always go, what's the tasting fee there? It's the same thing as Frank when they ask you, what are the green fees? I'm like, I have no idea. So.
Hey, congrats on that article with Monica Seles. I know that's tennis, not necessarily what we're following here.
Right, but right.
I remember that, of course, tremendous. That had to be really a breaking story for you. Yeah. I'm curious as a journalist, you know, I'm always interested in being in the industry when somebody tells you you can have a guest, but you can't ask A, B, C, D, E, or F, how you handle that? Because obviously you wanted that interview, but obviously that was the main story at that time too.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm a big Dan Patrick guy. I watch him every day on Peacock app and I listen to his radio show. And he'll talk often about how he structures interviews in that situation where, you know, you can't ask these questions. And you just kind of try to work it around. So maybe there is, I don't remember what it was for sure, but I think I said something to the effect is it been tough coming back, and that just left it at that. Didn't say coming back from where or anything. And she just opened up about it.
Yeah.
So you try, and you know what? Sometimes you're just not going to get it. Or you can go, well, you know what? This is what I want to ask. If you don't want the interview, then I'll honor. I respect your rights, but I don't want to do the story.
Yeah. Obviously, the media, the industry has changed so much. It's been a total revolution to the digital world from print. I'm just curious, do you see like where things might be going 5-10 years down the road? Do you see what the next iteration might be just for coverage of the game?
Well, I think who's the biggest question to answer in terms of media coverage is who will take Doug Ferguson's job when he's done? Because he's now the beat writer for every newspaper in the United States, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just about. So, you know, him and Krajicek, right? So who's gonna take Doug Ferguson's place would be the big thing. I don't know. In terms of coverage, it seems like it would be natural that we'd go more to Zooming and stuff like that. And, you know, during COVID, I mean, I covered, a U.S. Open or two, PGA, and something all virtually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had separate streams and you were, privy to more stuff. And to be honest with you, it was actually kind of nice. I'm sitting at my desk in my house like I am right now, and I'm covering the U.S. Open. I'm getting the same interviews everyone's getting. I'm getting the same coverage. And then you know what? When it's over, I just turn off my computer and I'm home. You know, so I think that's probably the natural thing. And I'm finding more and more tournaments are like more than happy to set you up for virtually covering the tournament. It makes their job easier too. Probably makes the players happier, you know, and yeah, makes the fans happier, I'm sure, not to have all of us in front of them. Inside the ropes, which I know they get frustrated. Oh boy, do they get frustrated. Follow Tiger inside the ropes on a Sunday and listen to the language outside the ropes. Quite entertaining.
I bet.
And no lunch with Jack Nicklaus virtually.
Oh,
You know, as Scott and I lament week after week, there's never enough time on this radio show, Dennis. And, you know, the stories that we haven't even talked about, I think is going to suggest we have you back for a return visit.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. You know, and one thing I'd like to throw in one more thing from Aces, if possible, is I don't know how we've done it. I mean, content is key, as you know. Content's always key. We've gone 4 straight years of increasing every month in views, clicks, and everything.
Good for you.
Our goal for 2022 was 100,000, and we ended the year at 125,000.
Good for you.
So, you know, which is nice, and people are staying there to go up every year, and you just keep trying to work the content and see what can happen there.
You know, I applaud you, Dennis. You started down one track and found that it didn't pencil, and you've certainly made AcesGolf.com a success. I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
As I said,
you know, this show is not long enough, but Scott Fent can't figure out how to squeeze more than 60 minutes out of a 60-minute show. So we will continue to do it this way. But this is Dennis Miller, who's the editor of AcesGolf.com. He's got 125,000 people looking at it. Check it out. Maybe you'd be 125,001.
Yeah.
Scott, we've come to the end of another radio show here on Sactown Sports 1140. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Happens every week at this time. Hope you join us. Play golf when you're not listening to us. It's a game and it's a lot of fun. You'll have a good time. See you next week. Frank LaRosa, Scott Marsh, and for Dennis Miller. Bye-bye.